The process has already begun to land LeBron James with the Golden State Warriors. What does that mean for the Lakers, the Warriors, and the rest of the league? Plus, SGA actually is pushing to keep one specific player, and it's everyone's least favorite. I'm Trevor Lane. This is the Basketball Bulletin. Hit that subscribe button. Turn on those notifications as well. Joining me as always, Donnie Freeman. Donnie, how are you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. Hope you are as well. And I'm happy that SGA wants to keep Lou Dort.
Spoiler alert.
My bad.
You did. No, it's okay. It's okay. You were throwing darts at it and you hit it right on the
That's another kind of context. You can't do that.
Donnie, it was 2 minutes ago. I don't even remember, but you tried to say the word dart and you said door. Oh, you said you had to dart out the door after we finished this, but you were looking at Lou Dort. So Donnie flipped Dort for dart and here we are.
We have to let the people in on the joke. We can't have just insider jokes all the time.
This is where so much of our humor comes from. Just dumb puns and things that we throw in, but we love it. You know what else we love? The Corgi.
Aaron Corgi
has predicted that the San Antonio Spurs are going to beat the New York Knicks, and that is right now the betting favorite. However, what I love is that the Corgi says it's going to happen in seven games.
Seven games.
Give me more NBA basketball. Let's go.
Yeah, that's actually really cool. And you know what? Last time we talked about the Corgi briefly on the channel, we had a comment that was like, oh, the Corgi can't even see the logo. I just got to let you know, that doesn't matter. We don't disrespect the divine prophecy coming from the Corgi here. The Corgi knows which ball or which net the ball needs to go into, right? So the Corgi knows what it's doing.
If we're suspending disbelief and we're saying that this Corgi can accurately predict the outcome of NBA basketball games, I think we would also have to assume that he has the power to not need to see the logo on the actual trash can.
Exactly. He doesn't need to see it. I think it's a female dog. Anyway, they don't need to see it. And they know what's happening here and they can get it done. So Spurs in seven. But hey, seven games is pretty cool. I'm excited for that. Especially if it's anything like, you know, several of the games we got in the last series in the Western Conference final. Like, that would be really cool.
Yeah, definitely. I hope we get a fantastic series, back and forth games, no blowouts. Let's get close finishes all the way through. Now, speaking of game one, though, we're going to be doing a little play-by-play for that game. We've decided, we asked you guys, we put it out to all of you, said, what do you think? Do you guys want us to do this? So we're going to do that. That is coming up tomorrow, 5:30 p.m. Pacific time. We'll be live here on the channel doing some play-by-play for the game. So come hang out with us tomorrow, 5:30 p.m. Pacific time. Knicks, Spurs, game one. We'll do some play-by-play. We'll hang out. We'll talk hoops. Come hang out here with us.
Really quick, I got to say, how many takes do you think it takes the dog to get these? Like, genuinely watching this, I'm pretty impressed. Like, I watch those dogs in, like, the halftime shows, and they do, you know, there's also so many different cool things dogs can do.
Like Scooby? Christian and Scooby? Yep.
Yeah, there's so many cool things the dogs can do when they're trained. My dog's pretty cool too. He knows a bunch of little things, but I've never tried teaching a dog something like this. So I wonder how hard it is, one, to teach them, and two, how many takes. Because I mean, look, it banked that one shot off the wall. So that's actually really cool. I mean, did it again.
He's probably developed into a pretty good
off
rhythm.
The staircase.
Yeah. He's talented. Talented. Get this guy a jersey. Sign him up.
Yeah.
All right, let's talk.
That's ridiculous. I'm marveling at the dog here.
My dog can't even catch. You throw a piece of food.
No. That's my dog's bread and butter. The ball is life for him. I'll throw the ball. That ball could go 40 feet in the air and he's catching that thing.
And
the funny thing with him, he'll be locked in on the ball so hard because I like to throw the ball with him down the court. And it's a really long runway, but a cat could go by other dogs. He's locked in on me and the ball. Ball is life for him. So that's totally different from my dog.
I've got Bernese Mountain Dogs. So you throw a ball for them and they look at you and they're like, no, we're too big for this. We're not doing that. We're not running after that. All right. Let's talk about LeBron James going to the Golden State Warriors. Check this out. Tim Kawakami for the San Francisco Standard writing, what if LeBron wants to play and he and the Lakers can't figure out what the salary number should be? Or what if the Lakers want to erase his entire salary slot to get way under the cap and add a younger star who fits Doncic's timeline? What if LeBron and the Lakers go through a relationship reevaluation similar to what Kerr and the Warriors just went through? But in this one, the two sides decide to split. Well, now, if that happens, I think the Warriors would be a very live option. Check that. I think the process has already started and the Warriors are a live option. Donnie, everything up until that last line, I would have said, okay, he's just kind of speculating. What if, what if, what if? Then he says the process has already started and the Warriors are an option. How should we take that? And how likely is it that we see LeBron team up with Steph Curry? Reports out there that they could get to a full mid-level exception, the non-taxpayer mid-level, right about $15-ish million.
Yeah, so basically he's saying they're tampering already.
That's true. That's true.
They're working hard.
I hadn't thought about that because we know tampering never happens. Everybody plays by the rules. But yeah, yes, that's true.
I'm sure Steph doesn't have LeBron's number and didn't just float the idea. Hey, man, come play with me. You know,
tampering doesn't seem to apply to players.
Right.
I think the NBA just recognizes they can never police that.
Okay, but what about agencies? I've got X player who would love to play with my other player. Can I figure out a way to get these guys on the team without technically? Is it a conflict of interest? Is that tampering? I don't know.
Draymond Green is with Clutch.
That's my point. Like, they just the guys, and I'm sure there are other Clutch guys maybe on that roster too. That's definitely pretty interesting. But I think for LeBron, I think anything is largely on the table right now. You know, we talked about all year. I think that for him personally, in my opinion, it's most likely he returns because it just makes the most sense. I think you are going to keep your options open. And he's spoken glowingly about playing with Steph over the years. Now, when push came to shove, when the Warriors tried to get him, he didn't, you know, get traded and let that happen. But maybe now with the difference in circumstance with the Lakers, the direction they have, et cetera, maybe he's willing to go. You know, but I also think Cleveland's similarly on the table. I think as we get deeper into it, I think retirement's more and more off the table, but that's still floating as an option, I guess. But maybe there's another team we're not thinking or talking about that could be in the LeBron mix. But certainly I do think the Warriors are already, just like all the other teams are already. I mean, Rich Paul said so himself that teams have already reached out in relation to LeBron. So technically, yeah, teams are already tampering.
It's tampering season. Let's go.
Put them all under the microscope there.
Adam Silver's probably texting Rich Paul off to the side like, hey, which teams? Which teams? Right?
Which teams is it? But also, if you're one of those teams, for one, you get LeBron the basketball player, but you also get LeBron the market for his final season. Man.
Maybe final season, yeah.
Potential final season. Man, that would be crazy. I still kind of want to see him play 25, though. Just because quarter century, I think that's really cool.
All right. We need to talk a little bit more about that. If it is, because I think that is an important dynamic here. What if it is LeBron's final season? But before we get to that, let's give a quick shout out to our sponsor. That is Prize Picks. You guys can check them out. Use the link in the description down below. The code is HMA over on Prize Picks. Super easy to play. All you got to do is pick more or less on your favorite players. Donnie, I love that Steph Castle, 11.5 points, is back. And we got OG Anunoby. 11.5 points as well. Look at that. He's done it in the last five. I looked it up, and it's been since the beginning of April for Steph Castle to not clear 11.5 points. I'd have to look and see on OG, but I'm just comboing both of those and going Steph Castle, 11.5, OG Anunoby, 11.5. Thank you very much. I will take that all day.
Yeah, that's easy until they say, you know what, we're sick of this Trevor guy always taking this pick.
Like, no more. We're taking this away.
And it's not only him. He's advertising it so much that other people are taking it. We got to take this off here.
Hey, if it's there, I'm going to take it, right? Yep, I'd be foolish not to. I'd be foolish not to. All right, if you guys want to get in on it, use that code HMA. Play $5, get $50 instantly in your lineups. Great deal they have going on right now. Go check them out. Again, that link is in the description. If you're going to play, please do so responsibly. All right. So this whole idea about LeBron potentially retiring, like, to me, that should matter. I just don't. Maybe LeBron sees it differently. And he probably does see it differently than how I do. LeBron is a billionaire with a capital B. I am not. But I would think LeBron would want to be spending half of his games in front of a crowd that he's built up some equity with if it's going to be his final year. You know what I mean? Like a crowd that would appreciate that it's his final season and kind of show him the love. Whereas if he goes to Golden State, say, there's no, in fact, there's, if anything, there's a negative. I see a lot of Warriors fans running around trashing LeBron constantly because this made up LeBron versus Steph thing. So would it be diminished his retirement tour if it happens in a Warriors jersey?
No. I think there's levels to it. I think it could be better if it happens in other locations that he does have, like you said, some equity with, a city he's been with for a long time. Like, for example, the Lakers, that's his longest stint anywhere in one go. Cleveland, mm-hmm. You have to add up the two stints in Cleveland, but he's been in LA going on, what, 9 seasons now? This would be a 9th season.
It's been 8. His longest consecutive stint.
So, like, that, I think, really matters. But, you know, conversely, there are fans within the Lakers fan base that never wanted him here, don't like him. I mean, there's also some within Cleveland that don't like him because he's come, gone, et cetera. And Miami is kind of a weird one just because he wasn't there for that long. It was really a flash in the pan of his entire career. But that would be another team he could potentially go to. But for Golden State,
which is crazy because that was also, I'm sorry, that was like the loudest move was the Miami move. And yet, you're right, though, when you look at his entire career, like the blink of an eye. It was what he had 4 seasons in Miami.
4 seasons, yeah. He was not there long, especially considering that he's played 23 years now. That was nothing. Like, he's basically going to, if he plays again, play 20 years elsewhere. Like, that's crazy, right? So, like, there's not really much there. And that was over a decade ago at this point. So it's been a while. But for Golden State, I think it's interesting just because while there is the LeBron-Steph dynamic, they made, what, 4 consecutive finals against each other. Mm-hmm. They were rivals during that stretch there, regardless of where you have them in the overall NBA hierarchy. I do think that there would be some level of appreciation there just because he's a guy that Steph has gone to battle against for so many years. And I do think the dynamic. I think that for that, they would appreciate that. And also, this is a guy that they've, as a fandom, wanted for a while as well to pair with Steph, especially if they could have success together. Could you imagine if they somehow paired these two together and found themselves deep in a playoff run, what that would do? Like, that would look really good.
If they could keep Draymond, if they could keep, you know,
get Jimmy back healthy, and he'd have to be himself. They'd have to keep their young guys like Moody and stuff, and have him come back as himself, right? But
true.
That would be certainly pretty interesting. Steve Kerr came back for another, couple years as well, and maybe you keep Draymond. I think with Golden State, more than like any random team he could potentially go to, they are a unique situation for him.
Yeah. I do. I do think it would be, look, we saw LeBron and Steph play together in the Olympics. They seem to enjoy playing together. I do think the Warriors are going to do everything they can to get him. I think they're going to prioritize Giannis first. And I think if they can get Giannis, and by the way, I don't have the Warriors offers being one of the better offers. I think Miami's offers in the lead. I think OKC could maybe beat that, but it doesn't seem like they're all that interested. I think Minnesota is going to have interest. I think a number of teams are going to be interested in Boston. If Boston's willing to come off of Jaylen Brown, that gets interesting. But if the Warriors do get into the Giannis mix, I think they'll try to sell LeBron on that. Like, hey, we're getting Giannis. We may only have a veteran minimum, but hey, play with Giannis.
That's where the timeline thing is interesting, though, right? Because how long does – this is a weird situation for LeBron because he's been this guy, but does Giannis hold up his market? Because
I think Giannis is traded by the draft. And the draft's only 3 weeks away. I think he's traded by the draft.
That's right. I know that Giannis, he has the ability to sit on the extension for so long. I was thinking about that. But he probably is traded by the draft. So maybe by that,
he wants to use the picks in the draft.
That they were operating like they had multiple picks anyway.
Right.
So, I guess that makes sense. But it certainly is weird that we have to even mention that. Like, he would be the guy in a theoretical scenario where it drags on, kind of waiting maybe. Maybe, depending on where he goes, because I think most teams would try to get Giannis first and then say, hey, LeBron, we got Giannis, man. We're a contender already. We had Giannis. And would you come back and play for us? Now, that number would probably have to be pretty low, but he may be willing to do it, just given if Giannis is there.
What do you think about LeBron's comment from a week or two ago about, you know, it may play out into August?
Yeah,
I don't know that LeBron can actually wait into August.
Yeah, that was where that also was coming from. Maybe because I don't think for him he's going to intend to wait until August because he knows he can't.
Yeah.
Not unless he's going to take, again, a low salary, which for all intents and purposes has been largely debunked as an option because Brian Windhorst, who admittedly LeBron has gone at before saying this guy doesn't know me as well as he says he does.
Right.
He's basically said that LeBron also would care more about also just the number of the contract for a respect, you know, what sure. It says, not so much about the amount he's making, but what it says as his for his stature in the NBA, et cetera. Because if he's all of a sudden on a minimum deal, what does that say about LeBron, you know, in his final year? I don't know. I mean, to me, he's a billionaire. I don't care much, but I'm not LeBron. Maybe he cares more about those other things than just the raw salary, like Brian is alluding to. So I don't think he can wait that long, and I don't think he'll try to wait that long. He might have just overspoke in that
scenario. If he says, I'll take a veteran minimum,
he could wait all year.
I mean, this would be bonkers, but he could wait till February if he wanted to.
Wait all year.
He could be like, yo, I'm going to rest and relax, and whoever's ready, come playoff time, I'm going to go jump on with that team. I'll take a veteran minimum somewhere, a prorated veteran minimum, and I'll see you in March. How about that? Like, he could
right at the deadline, huh? Right.
He's not going to do that, but in theory, if he was willing to play for the minimum, he could take the whole year off and then just show up right after the All-Star break, get in a rhythm, and then play the playoffs. Yeah, he could do
sit
it.
Sit out 70 games and
there's
zero chance he does that.
He's not going to do it, but I mean,
could do it if you wanted to.
Spend the year golfing. And how many teams would raise their hands in February and say, we want you? Yeah, come on.
That's where, like I mentioned earlier, it's even if it's not just for the player, even if you don't have goals of winning a title this year, you still want him for the market because he's an economy unto himself. Like, he brings money with him. So, like, you, even if you're a random team that's always bad, like Sacramento or Washington or whatever, you're going to want him. You're going to say, LeBron, would you be willing to come? Maybe we can give you more than a minimum.
Yeah, right. Well, technically, if a team preserves their mid-level, but that's just it. That's where I don't think he can wait into August, is because I don't think teams are going to want to sit on the mid-level exception and not move it or not use it unless they go into the season planning on, because remember, there's the rule now that you can use your mid-level exception as a trade exception. And so that can be a benefit to actually keeping it into the season. Otherwise, though, I don't expect teams, if they have players they want to spend on in free agency, they're not going to wait forever on LeBron to make a decision and hold on to their mid-level just in the hopes that maybe LeBron will take it from them.
I mean, it took forever, but we finally got to that point where 41-year-old LeBron can't hold up the market anymore. It only took 20 years, but we finally to that point. We finally got there. I would be surprised if we got to mid-July and we didn't know where he was going.
Yeah.
I would be surprised. Like, I don't think he's going to sit on this. I don't think he intends to sit that long. He might have just been throwing, you know, June, July, August without even thinking much about it. You know, sometimes we do that. So
I actually think, and this is a rarity, I think Kendrick Perkins is right. I think he already knows.
Yeah.
I think LeBron already has a sense of what he may not know exactly, like, for sure. I think he already knows whether or not he's playing next year. I think he may already have a sense of what is available to him. And then depending on how things play out, that's going to be, but it could be as far as he already even knows what team he's going to.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing though, right? Like, cause you can look at the landscape and frankly, he's been at this for so long. Rich Paul's been at it for so long. They know what's available. They know where he can go, what it looks like, what the roster is, all these different, they've already talked about all this. They already know. They knew this stuff last season. So I think for him, he may have narrowed it down. You know, maybe he was considering more teams. Maybe it's less. But like I said, I think it would be surprising if it drags on for much longer, unless he just wants it to drag on just for some reason. Maybe he's split between, man, do I stay in LA? Man, do I go back to Cleveland? I don't know. Maybe it does depend on what those teams do. Like the whole thing about the plan and all this. I saw people get offended by that. I didn't think it was offensive at all that they would show him a plan for him to take a cut. but maybe that stuff has to play out first.
Yeah, why would that be offensive?
I don't know. Because the way I saw people reacting to that was, oh, he's just being a drama queen again and making it about himself. But to me, that's just common sense.
Yeah. Like, I mean, that would be in anything. Say, hey, if you need me to give back money, to take less money, show me why. How is that going to benefit?
Yeah, you know, absolutely. That's the way I see it.
That's perfectly reasonable. Yeah, I don't see any reason otherwise. Like, if you go to LeBron and say, hey, LeBron, we really want to max Luke Kennard, so we need you to take less. I'm sure he's going to go, no, I love Luke, but no, that's not helping our team. Hey, LeBron, we need you to take less because we're going to pull off a Giannis trade. Or, hey, LeBron, we need you to take less because we're going to get, I don't know, Trey Murphy or whatever other wild speculation you want to throw out there. Yeah, like, okay, that's where it gets more reasonable, right? So, yeah, I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I don't think that's LeBron being drama or anything like that.
Yeah, that's what I saw online too. But maybe that's just minorities being loud. You know how
I think there's a number of people that LeBron can do whatever LeBron does, they will take it in a negative way.
Yeah, I love when you say he could save puppies from a burning
building. He saves puppies from a burning building, and they'd be like, "It would." The response would be, "I could tell you exactly what it would be. It would be on X." SMH should have been working on his jumper. Something like those.
It would be SMH. He should have done it faster.
That's it. Should have gotten there fast. Jordan would have got the. Jordan would have stopped the fire before it even started.
Oh my god! That's exactly what.
That's exactly what it would have been. Oh, all right. Let's talk a little bit about the Thunder. Enough on LeBron. We'll see where he ends up going, but it sounds like the Warriors very much want him. They won't have a whole lot to spend. If LeBron wants more, by the way, if LeBron wants more than the mid-level from the Warriors or anybody else, he's going to need the Lakers' help in order to do that via a sign and trade. All right. Let's get into this situation here with Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. I talked about it last night, actually. SGA said, look, we've got the best GM in the league in Sam Presti. I'm just going to trust him to do what he does, which is a very logical place to be. But according to this report from ESPN, while SGA publicly vowed not to provide input to Presti on personnel matters, sources familiar to his thinking say that privately he intends to emphasize to management how much he values playing alongside Canadian countryman Lou Dort. And Lou Dort has a team option next year at $17 million. So we've been under the assumption that they will probably decline that team option, maybe pick it up. If they do pick it up, it'll probably be to trade it. But the bottom line is they're $28 million above the second apron, and that moving on from Lou Dort will be a path towards getting under that second apron. But SGA, who publicly says, oh, no, I'm not going to say anything to Sam Presti. He's the best GM in the league. I'm going to let him do what he does. Apparently does not want Lou Dort gone. So should that change things for the Thunder to where we should pivot our thinking and say, okay, well, then the Thunder are keeping Lou Dort?
They've got a history there, right? Like, they've played together for years, developed together. Lou Dort's been on that team all the way back to when Chris Paul was on that team. In fact, had a pretty big moment towards the end of one of those games in that postseason, if I recall. Anyway, that's only natural. Right. And also, I think that the way that teams are constructed now, if you're Shai, you're like, well, obviously I want us to get better, but can we keep our guy? Can we keep our guys and get better? Like, do we have to get rid of Dort? Can we move on Joe and Wiggins, who, when I looked at their cleaning the glass info, they were both, I don't know if this is just because the Thunder are so good, but they're worse with both of those guys out there, particularly on the defensive end of the court. But you can move on from those guys.
The same's true of Dort, but I think you're right, though. I think it comes down to the Thunder being so good.
Yeah, I just think it's because they're so damn good.
Yeah.
But Dort also brings the strength, physicality, different things that these guys also don't bring the same way. So maybe that's something that he would prefer for them to do. I'm sure he would prefer not to lose anybody, but yeah. Dort has been a starter on this team and all of that. So
yeah, and Isaiah Joe, Aaron Wiggins, potentially those two guys could be on the move. They're making Aaron Wiggins $9 million next season, so that's not difficult to move that. $8 million after that, and then a team option at $8.1 million after that. So 3 years under contract, but really only 2 years. Then you got team control, and then you've got Isaiah Joe, $11.3 million this year, and then a team option again. So these are very tradable contracts if they decide to go that route. Moving on from Aaron Wiggins and Isaiah Joe, if they could trade them into pure cap space, would actually save them more money than declining the team option on Lu Dort. Now, should they do that? Are you better off keeping the depth of Isaiah Joe or Aaron Wiggins? Here's what I think has to happen, though, Donnie. I think you have to do one or the other.
Yeah.
Because, not just because of the cap math, but because of Cason Wallace, who made his comments the other day about how much he enjoyed having the ball in his hands and playing, and I'm paraphrasing, but how much he enjoyed kind of running the show when SGA was out. It's pretty clear he wants a bigger role and bigger minutes. That's not going to happen when you've got this much depth on this Thunder team. It's one of the, I guess, a good problem to have when you've got so many good players, especially when they're all guards.
And Wade.
It can make it a little bit tough when you get into a minutes crunch. So the way to clear minutes for Wallace is to move on from, I mean, you could move on from all three of them potentially and give Wallace a lot more minutes, but at least moving on from either the duo of Isaiah Joe and Aaron Wiggins or Lu Dort would clear the way for Cason Wallace. And I think that's going to be an important thing to get an extension done with him, to get him staying in OKC long-term. And to me, that should indeed be the priority. In fact, over any of those three, in my opinion, I would put Cason Wallace ahead of Lu Dort, ahead of Isaiah Joe, ahead of Aaron Wiggins. I don't think that's a hot take. That should be the priority. And if you are killing two birds with one stone, if you are getting down below the second apron by moving either Dort or Isaiah Joe and Aaron Wiggins, and you are placating Cason Wallace, it's a no-brainer from the Thunder side of things.
Yeah, and just to your point, the amount of wing and guard depth this team has, and mostly like small wings, Jared McCain, 6'3", Cason Wallace, 6'3", Dort, 6'4", Joe, 6'4", Mitchell, 6'4", Caruso, 6'5", Wiggins, 6'5", Jalen Williams, 6'5", Shea, 6'6", Topic, 6'6". They're all small. So, right. And that's why this team gets by with playing, like I brought it before, a lot of 3 and 4 guard lineups, because they're pretty versatile out there, yes, but they've designed their team to be fast and scrappy and switchy and all that stuff. And they have a couple guys that can scale up defensively. Dort is one of those guys. But if you are looking to get a bigger role for Cason Wallace, while also retaining a bigger role for McCain and Mitchell, Caruso is going to need his minutes. J-Dub and Shea are going to get their minutes. You kind of have to almost by process of elimination, remove Joe, remove maybe Dort and Wiggins, mm-hmm. But Joe and Wiggins were not even a part of this team so much this year, which is unfortunate because they had their spurts, but you know, they were more integral to this team's success last season, but Cason came on in a big way. So yeah, I do think they would try to create room for him. But it's more also about having more on-ball reps and things like that. With just mm-hmm. A.J. Mitchell being ahead of him in that pecking order as a creator for this team, I think that also really makes it hard. It's not even so much Dort, because there's a positional minutes crunch between those guys, but the play style is different. It's more Mitchell that has taken that role from Wallace, I think.
I mean, think about it. Even if you remove
McCain, too.
And they run guards as wings quite a bit, but think about it. You remove Dort, Isaiah Joe, Aaron Wiggins, and we're talking about SGA, AJ Mitchell, Alex Caruso, Cason Wallace, and Jared McCain.
That's still
like,
damn good.
You are still having to run guards as a wing, probably at least one of them as a wing, and it's probably Alex Caruso that you run as a wing, because otherwise you can't get minutes for all those guys, and that's without Isaiah Joe, Aaron Wiggins, or Lu Dort. That's just removing them. Yep. That's still a challenge to get minutes for all those guys. Like, that's how loaded the Thunder really are.
And remember, J-Dub is 6'5". He just got that really big wingspan.
And you know what? If you wind up taking a couple of these guys too, does that ease, like, let's say you jettison Isaiah Joe and Aaron Wiggins into somebody else's cap space, maybe you can get some kind of asset for them moving forward. That also opens up space for you to actually use your draft picks this year in the 12th pick, the 17th pick, which they can get there anyway with some of these team options, and would probably decline the team option on Kenrich Williams. But it just makes it easier to actually use some of these picks, and maybe you continue the funnel of young talent coming into your team, and you can use the 12th pick and the 17th pick. Maybe they combo them and try to move up, but that has got to be a factor too, just clearing some of the logjam here for OKC.
Do they wind up losing Cason Wallace?
I don't think so.
I don't think
because of the team option and restricted, because of restricted free agency next year.
Yeah.
That if he were a full free agent, I would say, yeah, it's a real possibility, but restricted free agency sucks. It's awful for players. And this is, so I don't think, even if Cason Wallace wanted to leave and wanted to get a new opportunity, I just don't think they're going to let him go. And if I were the Thunder, I wouldn't either. I would prioritize him over a number of other players.
Yeah, I think he's at least their sixth best player on this roster. So I don't think you want to miss that. So
and that in and of itself is absurd.
Yeah, this team's got a lot of guys. This team's got a lot of guys. Based on being your sixth best player is a
that's
damn
crazy.
That's a damn good team. And also maybe that's why he wants a bigger role, because he's a year removed from free agency.
I'm sure that's part of it.
He's extension eligible. Maybe they get something done this summer, but maybe that's why too. He probably wants a bigger role. I think he has. I don't know that he hasn't shown it, but maybe he's just not been given the opportunity. But the next leap for him is to be more of an on-ball creator. Maybe he can show that this season. But again, like I mentioned,
he's got to have the opportunity.
He's got to have the opportunity. And Mitchell being ahead of him is not great, because him and McCain being ahead of him as creators is not great, because there's not a lot going, because Shea's going to get his 35 minutes a night of the regular season, 30 minutes, even depending on how they blow teams out.
Well, he doesn't have to play fourth quarters.
And I said 30 minutes, actually. But depending on how the opposition is, J-Dub needs the ball too. So they have guys like Caruso and Dort who don't even handle the ball really. So I don't know. I just don't see it personally there. And again, removing Wiggins and Joe does help with the salary to retain Dort if you wanted to do that, but that does nothing for Kayson specifically. So these are multiple problems this team has. And that says nothing for like Hartenstein or, you know, if they want to keep Williams, maybe, I don't know.
All right. Well, everybody let us know. What do you think Isaiah Joe and Aaron Wiggins could get on the trade market if those are the pieces the Thunder decide to move and hang on to Lu Dort at the insistence of Shai Gilgeous-Alexander? Give us your thoughts in the comments section. Don't forget, we'll be live tomorrow night, 5:30 p.m. Pacific time. We'll be doing a little play-by-play for Knicks Spurs Game 1 of the NBA Finals. Come hang out. It's like a party. We'll be talking some hoops. Donnie, this was fun, and man, I love this time of year, because, you know, every single day we're just going to get closer and closer to absolute chaos unleashing upon the league once the draft, free agency, the trade market, all that stuff starts going off. What a great time of year it is right now in the league.
Absolutely. I agree with you. Really quick, and this, you guys can answer this as well. Who would you rather have if you had the opportunity to get either of those two guards? Which one would you rather have?
Who, Dort or, no, or Wiggins or Joe? Joe or Wiggins. Ooh, that's tough. We'll let the chat decide. Let us know in the comment section down below. Thank you, everybody. Till next time. See you, and stay safe.